माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे। जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे। जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद। जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text Number 40 and 41. Vishuddham Kevalam Jnanam Pratyak Samyag Avasthitam Satyam Purnam Anadi Antam నిర్గుణం నిత్యం అద్వయం. ఋషే విదంతి మునయ ప్రశాంతాత్మేంద్రియస్య యదా తద్ ఏవాసత్ తర్కైస్ తిరోదియేత విప్లుతం. విశుద్ధం కేవలం జ్ఞానం ప్రత్యక్సమ్యగ్ అవస్థితం సత్యం పూర్ణం అనాది అంతం నిర్గుణం నిత్యం అద్వయం. ఋషే విదంతి మునయః ప్రశాంతాత్ మేంద్రియస్య యదా తద్ ఏవాసత్ తర్కైస్ తిరోధియేత విప్లుతం. విశుద్ధం వితౌట్ ఎనీ మటీరియల్ టెంజ్, కేవలం ప్యూర్ అండ్ పర్ఫెక్ట్, జ్ఞానం నాలెడ్జ్, ప్రత్యక్ ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్, సమ్యక్ ఇన్ ఫుల్నెస్, అవస్థితం సిట్యుయేటెడ్, సత్యం ట్రూత్, పూర్ణం అబ్సల్యూట్, అనాది వితౌట్ ఎనీ బిగినింగ్, అంతం అండ్ ఆల్సో వితౌట్ ఎనీ ఎండ్, నిర్గుణం డివాయిడ్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ మోడ్స్, నిత్యం ఇటర్నల్, అద్వయం without any rival. Rishe, O Narada, O great sage. Vidanti, they can only understand. Munayaha, the great thinkers. Prashanta, pacified. Atma, self. Indriya, senses. Ashayaha, sheltered. Yada, while. Tat, that. Eva, certainly. Asat, untenable. Tarkai, arguments. Tira dhyeta, disappears. Viplutam, distorted. The personality of, translation, the personality of Godhead is pure, being free from all contaminations of material tinges. He is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all-pervading without beginning or end and without rival. O Narada, O great sage, the great thinkers can know him when completely freed from all material hankerings and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by untenable arguments, all is distorted and the Lord disappears from our sight. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is an estimation of the Lord apart from His transcendental activities in the temporary material creations. Mayavad philosophy tries to disintegrate the Lord as contaminated by a material body when He accepts forms of incarnation. This sort of interpolation is completely denied herein by the explanation that the Lord's position is pure and unalloyed in all circumstances. According to Mayavad philosophy, the spirit soul, when covered by nescience, is designated as Jiva. But when freed from such ignorance or nescience, he merges in the impersonal existence of the absolute truth. But here it is said that the Lord is eternally the symbol of full and perfect knowledge. This is His speciality, perpetual freedom from material contaminations. This distinguishes the Lord from the individual common living entities who have aptitude for being subordinated by nescience and thus becoming materially designated. In the Vedas, it is said that the Lord is Vijnanam Anandam, full of bliss and knowledge. The conditioned souls are never to be compared to Him because such individual souls have the tendency to become contaminated. Although after liberation, the living entity can become one with the same quality of existence as the Lord, His very tendency to become contaminated, which the Lord never has, makes the individual living entity different from the Lord. In the Vedas it is said, Shuddham Apapa Vidham. The individual Atma becomes polluted by sin, but the Lord is never contaminated by sin. The Lord is compared to the powerful sun. The sun is never contaminated by anything infectious because it is so powerful. On the contrary, infected things are sterilized by the rays of the sun. Similarly, the Lord is never contaminated by sins. On the contrary, the sinful living entities become sterilized by the contact with the Lord. This means that the Lord is also all-pervading like the sun. And as such, the word pratyak is used in this verse. Nothing is excluded from the existence of the Lord's potential expansions. The Lord is within everything and He is all-covering also, without being disturbed by the activities of the individual souls. He is therefore infinite and the living entities are infinitesimal. In the Vedas, it is said that only the Lord alone exists and all others' existence depends on Him. He is the generating reservoir for all, for everyone's existential capacity. He is the supreme truth of all other categorical truths. He is the source of everyone's opulence and therefore no one can equal Him in opulence. Being full of all opulences, namely wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge and renunciation, certainly He is a supreme person. And because He is a person, He has many personal qualities. Although He is transcendental to the material modes, we have already discussed the statement, Itham Bhuta Guna Hari, His transcendental qualities are so attractive that even the liberated soul, Atma Rasas, Atma Ramas, are also attracted by them. Although possessed of all personal qualities, he is nevertheless omnipotent. Therefore, personally, he has nothing to do, for everything is being carried out by his omnipotent energies. This is confirmed by the Vedic mantras, Parasya Shaktir Vivadeva Shruyate Svabhavike Jnana Bala Kriyacha Madhya Leela, Chaturcharitamrita Madhya Leela 13.65 purport. This suggests his specific spiritual form, which can never be experienced by the material senses. He can be seen only when the senses are purified by devotional service. As such, there are basic differences between the Lord and the living entities in so many respects. No one can be compared to the Lord, as the Vedas declare. The Lord has no competitor, and he has nothing to fear from any other being, nor can anyone be equal to him. Although he is the root of all other beings, there are basic differences between him and other beings. Otherwise, there would have been no necessity for the statement in the previous verse that no one can know him 100%, as he is. Nayam vidanti tatvena, that no one can fully understand him, is explained also in this verse. But the qualification for understanding to some degree is mentioned here. Only the prashantas, or the unalloyed devotees of the Lord, can know him to a greater extent. The reason is that the devotees have no demands in their lives but to be obedient servants of the Lord. While all others, namely the empiric philosophers, the mystics and the fruitive workers, are all basically have some demand. And as such, they cannot be pacified. The fruitive worker wants reward for his work. The mystic wants some perfection of life. And the empiric philosopher wants to merge in the existence of the Lord. Somehow or the other, as long as there is demand for sense satisfaction, there is no chance for pacification. On the contrary, by unnecessary dry speculative arguments, the whole matter becomes distorted, and thus the Lord moves still further away from our understanding. The dry speculators, however, because of their following the principles of austerity and penance, can have knowledge of the impersonal features of the Lord to some extent. But there is no chance. There is no chance of their understanding his ultimate form as Govinda, because only the Amalatmanas, or the completely sinful persons, can accept pure devotional service to the Lord as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham tva antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavratah. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Ramo Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Very honored, grateful, and happy to be amidst all of you all at this very beautiful community. And it's a privilege to be speaking to such exalted souls here and sharing my little understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies the Supreme Lord in so many wonderful ways. And in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is being called by so many names. And this is a common theme in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where every quality of the Lord is given a name, and the Lord has so many transcendental names by which He gets glorified. And each of these names indicate and help us meditate on one aspect of the Lord, one of the qualities of the Lord. There is a very beautiful verse in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that is a very beautiful glorification of the Lord's qualities, and especially the qualities that are being spoken over here. This verse, it says, Nama Parama Kalyana, Nama Parama Mangala, Vasudevaya Shantaya, Yadunam Pataye Namaha. So here, there are four qualities of the Lord that are being appreciated and glorified. Nama Parama Kalyana. This is the first quality of the Lord which is being appreciated here, which is that the Lord is all auspicious. Whatever the Lord does brings in a lot of auspiciousness. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in Navadvip, the moment he was born was the moment of a lunar eclipse. There was a very inauspicious moment, actually. So anything that happens during the eclipse is considered to be inauspicious. So when the Lord was born, it was lunar eclipse, the most inauspicious time. So if any other living entity is born during the eclipse time, it is considered to be an inauspicious birth. But when the Lord was born, something very interesting happened. It is explained that in Navadvip, in those times, whenever there was an eclipse, everyone in the village would go to the river Ganga and stand inside the river Ganga and chant the holy names continuously. Whoever they were, whichever religion they belonged to, they all got together and chanted the holy names of Krishna in the Ganga. So apparently, on an external level, the time was inauspicious. But because every single person was constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, what an atmosphere. We all know that Kirtan is a time when the atmosphere becomes most auspicious. We are all fortunate to be in the midst of a Kirtan festival. And in the midst of Kirtan, so much auspiciousness is there. And that was the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. So practically every single person in Navadvip was inspired to chant the holy names of the Lord. And that is the very purpose of the incarnation of the Lord. So the Lord is known as Kalyana, which means He is auspicious. He is an abode of auspiciousness. During the story of Gajendra Moksha, when this elephant named Gajendra was in the his legs were in the jaws of a crocodile. Now, if your leg is caught in the jaw of a crocodile, it's not the most auspicious time. Obviously, you know, I mean, who wants their legs to be in the mouth of a crocodile? But Gajendra, when his leg was in the mouth of a crocodile, he was struggling so badly, he was bleeding, he was dying literally, and he was in so much agony and pain. When someone is in the last phase of life, and there is so much agony and so much pain and so much of blood and mucus and all that, it's not exactly an auspicious time. But when Gajendra was in that phase of his life, the biggest struggle of his life, he saw in the lake a lotus flower. It is explained that there is a reason why the lotus flower reached over there. Gajendra in his previous life was a king named Indradumna Maharaj. And as Indradumna Maharaj in his previous life, every single day Indradumna had a habit of offering prayers to the Lord and offering 1,000 petaled golden lotus to the Lord. Every day of his life, he offered 1,000 petaled golden lotus to the Lord, chanting prayers. And here, in a next life, when he is in the most intense and most miserable phase of his life, that one lotus appeared over there. And Gajendra picked up that lotus and offered it to the Lord, chanting prayers. And he chanted all those prayers that he had learned in his previous life. In that life as an elephant, he didn't learn much prayers. But what he had learned in his previous life came to his help. And that moment became the most auspicious moment for Gajendra. We all have one moment in our life which is the most intense moment of our life. These moments are very special. They are known as ever since moments. Ever since this happened to me, I'm not the same person again, you know. So it might be, you know, someone could have seen Prabhupada and that was the ever since moment for that person, you know. Someone may have heard one lecture of Srila Prabhupada and that was the ever since moment for him. So any one of us, the very fact that we are here in the Hare Krishna moment, it simply means we have had at least one ever since moment. For Gajendra, that was the ever since moment. Ever since that crocodile caught his leg, there was a whole transformation. He went through a complete change, complete transformation in his life. There is a big difference between change and transformation. Change is reversible, but transformation is irreversible. Change means, you know, one day I decide I will not do this. But 2 days later I can start doing it. Like for example in Mumbai, there's a place known as Marine Drive. And if you go there on 2nd of January, hundreds of people are jogging there because they've taken a New Year resolution, you know. You go there on 2nd of February, no one is there. This is known as change, you know. But transformation is completely different. Transformation is when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. The butterfly cannot become a caterpillar again. Transformation is when a stone becomes a statue. The statue cannot become a stone again. So when a human being goes through these ever since moments, he goes through a transformation. Potentially, any moment of our life can be an ever since moment if we are present in it with full intensity. Any Bhagavatam class can be an ever since moment for us. But unfortunately, a lot of times, we are not present with full intensity. Gajendra, that particular day, he was present in that moment with full intensity. And that's why he went through a transformation in his life. You know, in Tirupati, we have our ISKCON temple there. And there was an amazing story that happened in that temple. There was one lady who had come there, very elderly lady. So, someone was telling her about the glories of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So this lady heard it patiently and she asked that devotee, will chanting the holy names help me sleep? Now of course, all of us know how good it is for helping us sleep also. As soon as you start chanting, sleep comes somehow, you know. So this devotee full confidently, he said, yes, yes, you will get good sleep, you know. And he had no idea what she's talking about and why she's asking this question. He just innately said. And this lady learnt chanting that moment. She said, please teach me, I want to start chanting. And this devotee taught her how to chant. And this lady sat right there, then and there in the temple and chanted 16 rounds, first day. Imagine, you know, 2 hours she chanted straight, you know. And then she went back. 1 week later, this lady comes back to the temple. And she tells him, for the last 1 week, first time in 10 years, I have slept all night. And then she told her story, what happened, you know. 10 years back, she had come to Tirupati to have darshan of Balaji. And after having darshan of Balaji, she and her husband, they were leaving from there on their way to their homes. And they stopped near a lake. There was a huge lake there. They thought they'll have a picnic on the banks of the lake. And when they stopped there to have, to eat their food and all, the husband thought he will go for a swim in the lake. He went in for a swim, and the lady was outside. She was waiting for him, and suddenly she started hearing screams of this man. So she ran to see, and she saw this man was actually being pulled by a crocodile. There was a crocodile that was pulling his leg inside. And this lady, she freaked out. She didn't know how to swim. There was no one around there. She actually removed her sari and threw one end of the sari for him to catch and come back. But somehow, right in front of her eyes, the crocodile pulled this man and took him inside. And she heard the screams of her husband. Every single night after that, she would only hear the screams of her husband when she would close her eyes. Imagine the trauma. Imagine the pain that she went through. And because of which she was not able to sleep for 10 years. And that day when she chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that day when she took shelter of the holy names of Krishna, that was the first time in 10 years she slept. Krishna is auspicious, Kalyana. When the Lord enters into our life, He creates auspiciousness. He puts an end to all the inauspiciousness that is there in our lives, provided we take shelter of Him intensely. And then seeing this lady's example, practically all her family members became devotees. Practically every single person in her family started chanting 16 rounds. Just seeing the effect the holy name had on her life. Krishna is Nama Parama Kalyana. He is the one who brings auspiciousness into our lives. Anything in contact with Krishna becomes auspicious. The second aspect of Krishna, which is another beautiful quality of Krishna, is Nama Parama Mangala. The word Mangala means He does only good to us. So whenever Krishna comes into our life, He only does good to us. When Lord Ram in the Ramayana kills Vali, and this Vanar Vali is lying dead, Vali's wife Tara comes there. And imagine the situation, the person who has murdered her husband is standing there. And the wife whose husband is dead is very much there. Naturally, she should have been ideally very angry at Ram, very upset with Ram, very, very rather revengeful of Ram. But Tara, instead of being upset and angry, she actually starts glorifying Ram. And she speaks something very interesting to glorify Ram. Of the many things she speaks, one of the things she says is that, "My dear Ram, your eyes are red." Now, when is somebody's eyes red? When they're angry, when they laugh too much, or crying, when they cry too much, probably. Intoxication, when they drink too much. So Tara is asking Ram, "Your eyes are so red." And then, obviously, Ram is not angry. He is nirguna atita. He is above anger. He is, he is obviously not drunk, And Ram is not laughing too much. There's nothing to laugh over there, Nor is Ram crying. Why will he cry if a Vanara dies? Tara says there's another reason why your eyes are red. One's eyes becomes red if you have not slept at all for days together, or for at least many, many hours if you have not slept. Your eyes become red. Tara is glorifying Ram by saying that. She says, "Your eyes are red because you don't sleep. You're constantly watching out for your devotees. You're constantly there to look out for your devotees and take care of your devotees. And because you are constantly there, you are awake all the time, your eyes are red." What a glorification of the Lord, Obviously, the Vishnu Sahasranam talks about two names of Lord Vishnu. One, it says Nimisha, and the other is Animisha. Nimisha means the one who closes his eyes, and Animisha means the one who never closes his eyes. How can the same person be Nimisha and earn remission. How can the same person close his eyes and how can the same person not close his eyes? It is said, the form of the Lord that never closes his eyes is known as Jagannath. If you've seen Jagannath's eyes, Jagannath's eyes are so wide open. Because Jagannath is all okay? So Jagannath, his eyes are never closed. Why? Because he's constantly looking for good in his devotees. If anyone does anything good, Jagannath is watching. That's why his eyes are so big and never closes. You'll not find Jagannath having eyelids also, you know? Because he is constantly in the lookout of any devotee doing anything good. And then there's a form of the Lord known as Ranganath. So the form of the Lord, Ranganath is a sleeping form of the Lord, you know? His eyes are always closed. It is explained, whenever a devotee does a little bad also, Krishna for the moment closes his eyes. He doesn't want to see his devotees, you know, doing anything bad, of course. It doesn't mean we take advantage of that. But it just means that the Lord is so much focused on anything auspicious and anything good that a devotee does. Because that is the very nature of the Lord. The nature of the Lord is, he is Mangala. He only does good to others. And he wants to believe that all of us are innately good. So Krishna is Mangala. When Lord Krishna was leaving Vrindavan and coming to Mathura, he spent the last night with the Vrajavasis in Mathura. You know, so Krishna went with Akrur to Mathura on his chariot. But all the Vrajavasis came by another route to the entrance of Mathura. So they all reached before Krishna at the entrance of Mathura. And when Krishna reached over there to the entrance of Mathura, the Vrajavasis were already waiting for him. So Krishna told Akrur, you go in, I'll come. And I want to spend the last evening with the Vrajavasis. So Krishna spent the last evening with the Vrajavasis there. And that last evening, Krishna ate with the Vrajavasis. This is the last meal that Krishna ate. This was the last meal that the Vrajavasis ate with Krishna. So technically the idea of last supper exists here also, you know. So here, when Krishna sat with the Vrajavasis and ate his last meal, you know, and it's very interesting what he ate as the last meal with the Vrajavasis. He ate milk, cooked rice soaked in milk. No, it's not exactly sweet rice. It is milk and rice separately mixed together, basically. That was the last meal that Krishna ate in Vrindavan. He wanted to offer his gratitude to the Vrajavasis for everything that the Vrajavasis had done for him. He wanted to offer his gratitude for being taken care so lovingly to the Vrajavasis. And he wanted to spend those last moments with the Vrajavasis with a lot of love and affection. So you can call this as a Thanksgiving meal also. And Krishna, he brought in so much good into the lives of the Vrajavasis. Wherever Krishna goes, he does something good for someone. So if you look at Krishna's life, he didn't live a life for himself. He lived a life for other people. In Mathura, when he came, killed Kamsa, he didn't become the king of Mathura. He made Ugrasen the king. He went and made sure that Jarasandha was killed by Krishna, by Arjuna and Bhima. And then he didn't sit on the throne of Jarasandha's Magadha. He made Jarasandha's son sit on the throne. He killed, Shishupal. And he didn't go and take over Chedi kingdom. Man. He helped the Pandavas conquer the Kurus, the Kauravas. He didn't go and claim the throne of Hastinapur. So wherever Krishna did anything good for anyone, he walked away from there after doing the good. So Krishna is not interested in taking anything from us. He has come to only do good in our lives. So Krishna is known as Nama Parama Mangala. Then the third beautiful aspect, quality of Krishna is Shantaya. Vasudevaya Shantaya. So the word Shantaya means peaceful. Krishna is peaceful, but he also brings peace into our lives. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling around in the Jharkhand forest, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was traveling behind Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very scared and he was very unsure of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, you know, deal with the animals in the jungle. In those days, jungles were really filled with wild animals. And while Mahaprabhu was walking through the Jharkhand forest, there was a tiger lying on the way. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya was hoping Mahaprabhu doesn't notice that sleeping tiger, you know. And Mahaprabhu did notice it. He walked up straight to the sleeping tiger, kicked him and told him, "Get up and chant Hare Krishna." You know, he said, never kick a sleeping tiger, right? And Mahaprabhu just did that. He went and kicked the sleeping tiger. He said, "Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago." You know? So this tiger was bewildered. For a moment, he was very confused. And then he saw Mahaprabhu. The tiger got inspired. He lifted both his legs and started chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Mahaprabhu, he saw there was a deer around. He told the deer, "You also chant." And the deer also lifted both his legs and started chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And eventually the kirtan became so wild, all the deers and tigers in the jungle began to join in. And eventually the deers and tigers embraced each other, began to kiss each other and chant and sing and dance together. Have we ever seen deer-like devotees and tiger-like devotees come together? You know, very difficult, you know. Deer-like devotees, you know, are there in one corner and tiger-like devotees are there in one corner. But in a kirtan, you'll find a lot of differences in ISKCON. You'll find a lot of differences in any organization. But the only time when there are absolutely no differences is in kirtan. In kirtan, when all the devotees come together, there is such an harmony. There is such a beautiful sangha. There is such a beautiful peace that descends into the atmosphere, because Krishna is so powerfully present when the holy names are being chanted. Yatra gayanti mad bhaktra tatra tishtami Narada. You know, we all are searching for the permanent address of Krishna. Krishna tells Narada Muni, "What is my permanent address? Naham tishtami Vaikuntha." He says, "I don't stay in the spiritual world. I don't stay in the Vaikuntha planets. Naham na yoginam hridayeshuva. I don't even stay in the hearts of the yogis. Where do I stay?" Krishna says, "Yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami Narada." Wherever my devotees come together and chant my holy names, that is where I am. So definitely, the holy name festival that is going on, Krishna is there, very much there. And wherever Krishna descends, peace descends along with him. Because Krishna is Shantaya. It is explained that the Vishnu Sahasranam has many more names of Krishna in this connection. Krishna is also known as Shantaha. That means he is peaceful within. He is also known as Shantihi, which means whose very nature is peace. And he is known as Shantida. That means the one who gives peace to others. There was one man who wanted peace in his life. So he decided, if I marry a woman whose name is Shanti, I'll become peaceful. He married a woman named Shanti, you know, and he found a house which was named as Shanti Niketan. And he found that house in a lane that was known as Shanti Nagar. And he named his son as Prashanta, you know. So you think he'll be very peaceful? Absolutely not. Just by having Shanti, Shanti all around you, that's not going to bring in peace. But when you actually bring Krishna into your life, when Krishna descends into your life, that's when peace descends. Because Krishna is Shantaya. And the fourth name of Krishna that is being referred in this verse, Nama Parama Mangala, Nama Parama Kalyana, Nama Parama Mangala, Vasudevaya Shantaya, Yadunam Pataye Namaha. The word Pataye refers to another beautiful quality of Krishna. What is the meaning of the word Pataye? Pataye means the controller. Krishna is the most powerful controller in this world. Whatever happens to us in our lives, Krishna is very much there. His hands are there. We may not exactly understand how Krishna's hands are there in our lives, but somehow Krishna's influence is there. And we usually see Krishna's hands in hindsight. Later on, we will see when something is going on very tough in our life, that's not when we understand how Krishna is involved in it. But much later in hindsight, when we look at that incident of our life, we actually see how Krishna was there protecting us and helping us. During the Samudra Manthan pastime, there is a very beautiful section in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the Samudra Manthan, where the churning of the milk ocean happens. This pastime is very instructive for many, many reasons. But one of the reasons this pastime is so instructive is because in this pastime, we get to see the hands of the Lord in so many places. When the Samudra Manthan was going to be done, you know, when the Devatas and the Daityas, they decided to churn the milk ocean, they decided to bring the Mandara Parvat to use as a churning rod. So they all went, millions of them went to the Mandara Parvat to lift the Mandara Parvat. No matter how much they were trying to lift, they were just not able to lift the Mandara Parvat. In fact, some of them, their hands got stuck below, their legs got stuck below. They were really in so much agony and pain. At that time, they took shelter of the Lord. And Lord Vishnu appeared on his Garuda bird carrier. And Lord Vishnu picked up the Mandara mountain, kept it on Garuda's back. And he told all the Devatas and Daityas, you also come and sit on Garuda Airlines. You know, Garuda Airlines is not like airlines of today. It expands in size. Its leg room is limited and space is limited in today's airlines. But Garuda just expanded himself. And thousands of these Devatas and Daityas sat on the back of Garuda. And Krishna took them and dropped them in the place where the churning of the milk ocean was happening. So after the mountain was kept there, then Krishna told Vasuki to go and help them churn, become the rope for churning. So Vasuki came there on Krishna's instructions and became the rope. And as they were churning, as soon as they started churning, the mountain began to sink into the ocean. So, you know, obviously when you stand in water, the sand sinks in, right? So the mountain began to sink in. And then again they took a shelter of the Lord. And the Lord came on Skurma below and took the mountain on his back. It's very interesting to note here that the Mandara Parvat represents the intelligence, Buddhi. And the entire milk ocean represents Vedas, knowledge. When you churn the knowledge using your intelligence, sometimes when your intelligence is not based on Krishna, when Kurma is not below, when your intelligence is not based on Krishna, your intelligence will sink. That means when you churn the Vedas using your intelligence, but without Krishna as the base, without the base of Krishna consciousness, you will have sinking thoughts. There are so many scholars today who are analyzing the scriptures. But because their thoughts are not based on Krishna, their intelligence is not based on Krishna, their analysis and their thoughts are sinking thoughts. Always stupid conclusions they come up with. I mean, there are so many people who are now writing on the scriptures. I can tell you hundreds of stories of people in India who are writing books on the scriptures, but they have no authority. They have no base of Krishna consciousness. They have no base of Krishna and they're writing. And the kind of books they write and the kind of conclusions they come to are such bad conclusions, such sad conclusions actually, simply because their thoughts are not based on Krishna. But when your thoughts are based on Krishna and then you churn, nectar comes out. So, and of course, for Kurma, it is said that one of the reasons why Kurma incarnation took place is because Krishna was having a scratch on his back. Now, when we have a scratch on our back, we scratch our back. That's it, right? But when Krishna has a scratch on his back, the entire Mandara mountain is needed to, you know, relieve his scratching, you know. And all the Devatas and Daityas are, you know, doing the churning. And essentially what is happening is that Kurma is feeling so nice that his back is being scratched, you know. Imagine such a big pastime for what? To scratch the Lord's back. And it is explained that when the scratching of the back was happening, you know, the Lord was feeling so nice that he started breathing slowly, breathing in, breathing out. So if you see the ocean, the water comes in, water goes out. Water comes in, water goes out. That's actually the breathing of Kurmadev, you know. So he is breathing over there and the oceans are having these waves basically. So then when the churning was happening, the mountain now stable below, but it started shaking on top like this. So the Lord took another incarnation, thousand-handed form, and sat on top of the mountain and held the mountain in place. And then as the churning was going on, the demigods were getting exhausted. The Lord took another form of Ajita, one of the incarnations of the Lord, to help the demigods pull. And then the demons and the demigods and Vasuki. Vasuki was experiencing so much pain. Imagine your body is used as a rope, you know. So Krishna incarnated in the form of mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. In the form of goodness, he entered into the devatas. In the form of passion, he entered into the daityas. And in the form of the mode of ignorance, he entered into Vasuki. The mode of ignorance is very important for pain management. If you are in pain, the best way to deal with pain is go to sleep. Or there's another way to handle pain. The mode of ignorance is very active in pain. I mean, if you see drunkards, you beat up a drunkard, the drunkard won't feel any pain. Why? That's what mode of ignorance does to you, you know. It just takes away your capacity to experience pain. So when Krishna entered into Vasuki in the mode of ignorance, Vasuki didn't experience any pain during the journey of the milk ocean because the presence of the Lord in him. And then finally when the nectar came out, again the Lord appeared as a Mohini Murti. In this whole incarnation, what did the demigods and the daityas do? Nothing. Literally, the Lord only was doing everything, you know. So in one pastime, the Lord appears at least 10 times. And that's the meaning of the word Pataye. Pataye means he is a controller. Literally, not a blade of grass can move without the presence of the Lord. And when we understand that Krishna is these four things for us, we really understand how Krishna is manifesting in our life in so many ways. Nama Parama Kalyana, Nama Parama Mangala, Vasudevaya Shantaya, Yadunam Pataye Namaha. So Krishna is the one who is most auspicious, Kalyana. He is the one who is all good, Mangala. He is the one who is the giver of peace, Shantaya. And he is the controller, Pataye. When we know that Krishna is manifesting himself in so many ways into our life, it becomes so much easier for us to take shelter of Krishna and for us to absorb ourselves in Krishna with gratitude and in the mood of thanksgiving. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, please?
You just put in the Vishnu Sahasrana?
Yes.
Because you're talking in general, he has the same exact Namo Parashantaya, Namo Shantaya, the same.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. No, this what I quoted is from Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse. It's 10th canto of Bhagavatam. This is 10th canto, 10th verse, 10th chapter, 36th verse.
Who's saying that?
This is Shukadeva Goswami telling Parikshit Maharaj. I don't know the exact context, I can pull out the verse, the context and tell you. Yamal Arjuna trees.
Yeah,
1036.
It's just a comment.
Yeah, yes.
Because you were saying that the mode of ignorance can relieve pain, and I was thinking about the drug side of pain, because when you are in pain, you have to take a lot of drugs, or in the mode of ignorance also. But I have a question. This very merciful side of the Lord, is very difficult to explain to conditioned souls when they are in the situation, like when something really bad's happened to them. What could be like a nice answer to a conditioned soul, except for the answer that, oh, you will see later in your life?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a story that will help you understand, or rather, probably might be a good answer to help them. There was a tailor in Vrindavan. He was stitching clothes for the deities. And he was making beautiful clothes for the deities. And but he was wearing tattered clothes. Somebody went and asked him, "You're making such beautiful clothes for the deities. How come your life is like this and you're wearing tattered clothes?" This man gave a very nice answer, very realized answer. He said, "When I stitch cloth, when I stitch these deities' clothes, I take a needle and pierce it into the cloth. And when the needle goes in, the cloth gets torn. There's a small hole that is formed in the cloth. But as soon as the needle goes in and comes out, there's a thread that follows it. So when the needle goes in, it's painful. But after some time, the thread comes in and then it kind of patches up that pain. And then when I go, the needle goes in and out, in and out, in and out. It seems that our life is full of pains. But at the end of that whole thing, when you actually look at the whole cloth, it's a beautiful design that has been embroidered. So right now, we may go through so many pricks of needles and so much of pain that we're going through. But every time a needle goes in, we should know that there's a thread that is going to follow. The Lord and His grace is like the thread that is going to follow. Tribulations and pains in life are like the needle that is going to come all the time. But when we savor the grace of the Lord that follows after that, we realize that there is a beautiful design the Lord is making for our lives. Right now, when the stitching is going on, you can't see the design. But if you have a little patience, you actually learn to see the entire design. And then you realize, I'm so grateful for everything that happened. It helped me grow. It helped me become a better version of myself. I hope that helps.
I'm sorry. You can say that to the conditioned souls to see the big picture no matter what happens.
Correct.
And take shelter.
Correct.
Even though it's good or bad.
Correct.
That's the...
Yeah, way. Yeah.
Okay.
Speaker in Bhagavatam the other day said that Krishna is so absorbed... so absorbed in his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, he has nothing to do with this material world. But when we hear, you know, not a blade of grass moves without the hand of the Lord, and so that statement that I heard said, it makes you think, you know, why do we even pray to the Lord when we're in a turbulent situation? Or a stressful situation, and what should we pray in any case, you know? Because after all, Lord Chaitanya taught us, you may handle me roughly by your embrace or leave me brokenhearted.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in the grip of some, and it's not ending.
Yeah.
What does a devotee do?
Yeah. In my little understanding, we are like small children. When a child is sick, how does a sick child look at its mother? And it's very interesting. When the child is sick and it's going through so much in its body that it's not able to understand what exactly is happening, the child looks at the mother with a lot of helplessness. And that one look of the child towards the mother with helplessness, the mother understands. And the mother gives it a lot of support. Sometimes the mother can't solve the child's problem, but the mother embraces the child. And in that embrace, the child gets strength to deal with the problem itself, you know. So we are like the small children, and God is like our mother. Now, we may not take shelter of God saying, please solve my problem, because not all problems can be solved immediately. A lot of problems in our life have to be simply tolerated. Many problems have to be neglected. Very few problems actually can be solved. If you look at Krishna, he took birth in Mathura to solve a problem, isn't it, named Kamsa. But the moment Krishna was born in Mathura, he didn't kill Kamsa. He went to Vrindavan. For 11 and a half years, he was in Vrindavan. And then he comes back to Mathura 11 and a half years later, and in 5 minutes, he killed Kamsa. Now you might think that, why did Krishna not kill Kamsa 11 years back? To tell us that not all problems have an immediate solution. But when we look at the mother looks at our pain and embraces us. She doesn't solve our problem, but she just tells us that I am there. And in that embrace, you find a lot of solace. In that embrace, you find a lot of strength. In that embrace, you find a lot of hope. So for someone who is disturbed, that person doesn't need advice. That person just needs hope. So what I feel is that the reason we take shelter of the Lord when we are going through problems and crises in life, we don't ask Him to solve our problem. We just are like a helpless child who looks at the mother helplessly. And the mother embraces the child. That's all. That's my understanding.
Thank you.
Here is it.
Thank you for your class. You made me realize how blessed I actually am, because ever since I started Japa, chanting Japa in 1971, I would always fall asleep. So now you've confirmed the fact of how blessed I really am.
Thank you for that.
It was very nice class, Prabhu. I was wondering, in Gajendra Moksham, the 10 incarnation, but Trivir Ganer Mayir Sarvavidam Jagat, can we literally say that he actually incarnated in a modes, or he is always eternally above the modes? I mean, idea is that tamasic empowerment to Vasuki and Rajasic to Daityas and Saptiki to the demigod.
Right, right.
I understand, but literally, can we really say that he actually...
Yeah. So, everything in this world is energy of the Lord.
Correct.
So, now, the energies of the Lord, some of the energies, he is involved in them, and some of the energies are outsourced. So when I'm saying outsourced, it means that the Lord is not personally involved in it, basically. So He is beyond the modes. He is beyond the material tribulations. But the Leela Shakti of the Lord and the external energies of the Lord, they are still active, even though the Lord is disconnected. So this is the way I would look at it. You know, it's like some of the things are outsourced through His external energies, basically.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. So thank you very much. Very, very grateful to all of you all for your patient listening. Today evening, I'll be speaking from the Ramayana, and I'll be sharing some really interesting things that we can learn from the story of the Ramayana.
Come back again with a longer time.
Yes.